So our second scripture takes us to the Gospel of Matthew, where we encounter Jesus talking with his disciples, following an encounter with a rich young man or a rich young ruler, depending on which translation you use. This rich young man had come to Jesus wanting to know, how can I have eternal life? And he was looking for an answer. He was looking to know, what kind of things must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, follow the commandments. And the rich young man said, well, which ones? Implying maybe he was trying to test him, or maybe implying that he just didn't know. But regardless, Jesus kind of makes a whole list of commandments. To which the young man said, well, I've done all this. I followed these commandments. I'm a good law-abiding citizen. To which Jesus then says to him, if you wish to be perfect, go sell all of your possessions, give the money to the poor, and then come follow me. And Matthew tells us that after hearing that, the young man walked away with his head down, grieving, for he had a great deal of wealth. And that leads into our passage in Matthew 19, starting in verse 23, where Jesus says, then Jesus said to his disciples, truly I tell you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astounded and said, then who can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, for mortals, it is impossible. But for God, all things are possible. This is the word of the Lord to us this morning. Would you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we thank you for bringing us here together. We thank you for welcoming us to this place. We thank you for this community that is gathered here and for those who were unable to be with us this morning. God, we thank you for the opportunity to worship, to sing songs, to pray, to hear your word. And God, we pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts are pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. For God, all things are possible. Water came from a rock. A barren old woman became a mother. The sick were made well. The dead were raised. The hopeless have been given hope. Even a rich man got into heaven. For God, all things are possible. Do you believe that? Do you believe that for God, all things are possible? You know, when I ask people this question, or I infer it in conversations I have, it's always met with a little discomfort. People don't want to say no in front of the pastor, but you can tell that they aren't totally sure they believe that for God, all things are possible. And that's because many of us have spent our lives hearing the phrase, God helps those who help themselves. And there's a disconnect there. Do we trust God to provide for us, or do we simply provide for ourselves? Are we acting faithfully, or are we acting faithlessly? You see, faith is the key. And it's not just individual people that struggle to be faithful, it's whole churches too. I mean, we like the idea of following Jesus, but we just can't muster the faith to let go of our insurance policies. For the rich young ruler, his insurance policy was his wealth. For us, maybe it's the need for structure and organization, or familiar relationships, or strong membership numbers. You know, these are our backup plans that give us comfort and make us feel secure in case God doesn't come through. Faith faithfulness, though, embraces God's words in Isaiah, "Forget the former things, see I am doing a new thing." And by the way, faithfulness counts on God's new thing also being a good thing. Like, if God delivered Israel from Egypt, God's going to deliver Israel from Babylon. You see, the assurance we have with any new thing that God does is that God will take care of us no matter what. And I think that's a great message for any church in our rapidly changing culture. Faith sees us through all sorts of shifts, transitions, and evolutions of life. Like a little over a year ago, I came on board as senior pastor and head of staff here at Southminster. And a new senior pastor is perhaps, maybe, the biggest functional change a church can have. Now, for almost 3 years before that, as all of you know and remember, Southminster was in a transition. And transitions can be difficult on churches. They can be tough. You know, people leave, giving goes down, and you start to wonder, is the transition ever going to end? Transitions usually are disruptive and hard for churches to navigate successfully. Since 2016, though, here at Southminster, we've had 60 new people join the church, including our confirmands, and almost half were under the age of 45. Just this last year, we baptized 7. This last year, our giving increased 7% roughly from 2018. This last year, our pledging increased by almost 18% from 2018. You know, during and coming out of transition, these types of gains are amazing. These types of gains don't usually happen in churches that are going through or coming out of transitions. They just don't. And you combine these numbers with all the stories that you have heard, that I have heard, of how God is impacting lives through SPC's ministry. And all you can really say is that through God, all things are possible. One of my favorite stories from this past year is when a person shared with me during the God's Welcome series that they didn't know we could have conversations like this in church. Last summer, the Frozen Family Worship Service was packed, and so many people commented on how moving the service was. And, you know, conversely, we've had an unusual number of deaths in our congregation this year. And yet, I've heard some wonderful stories about how our congregation continues to show up for those who are grieving. And there is, if we're being honest, a lot of grief in our congregation right now. Now, my wife and I have a different perspective than most of you since we came just a year ago. But we both commented that God is doing something special here. That God is doing a new thing here at Southminster. Now, the challenge for us is to embrace the new thing that God is doing. Because going into 2020, we do have some particular challenges to embrace while moving forward. Our budget is a significant challenge to our faith. For the last several years, we have budgeted deficits. Now, a budget deficit in and of itself is not unusual for a church. However, our deficits have been on the large side. And as you'll hear in the congregational meeting here in just a bit, our deficit for this coming year, or current year, excuse me, 2020, is around $115,000. Now, the main reason for this deficit is that we are fully staffed for the first time in a long time. And you combine that with rising staff costs, and it means that a larger chunk of your budget is going to pay for your staff. Now, the other challenge to our faith is the changes in American culture. Last fall, Council had several conversations about culture change and what that means for Southminster. I mean, we all know that culture has changed drastically. Like, for example, starting in the mid-1980s, many of the blue laws were repealed, which meant that retail and service workers no longer had Sundays off. In the last 20 years or so, we've seen Sundays become a time when families are busy with sports and other activities. The internet and cell phone, or I should say the invention of the internet and the cell phone and cell phones, means that the majority of us, especially young people, are living hybrid lives. We live as much of our lives online as we do offline. Connecting and community building happens online just as much, if not more so, than it does face-to-face in today's world. Younger generations are reluctant about going to church. They feel judged when they come to church. They don't want to be lectured to when they come to church. And they feel the church doesn't always practice what it preaches. People want to be, let me rephrase that, people want to participate and be part of something that transforms their lives and empowers them then to go and transform the world. And then lastly, but certainly not least, membership and giving habits have changed a lot in our culture. People don't value membership the way that they used to. I mean, people will go to a church or be part of an organization for a long time without ever joining it. Membership just doesn't mean anything to them. Giving habits also are varied. There's more demand for people's money, especially from the charitable sector. And so people are having to pick and choose where to give their money. Combine that with younger generations like Generation X and millennials having little in the way of income, extra income, I should say, but wrestling more with debt than previous generations have. The world is evolving, and the church needs to evolve with it. And we evolve not because we're trying to conform to culture, but because we know that God is doing a new thing in our culture. And we want everyone who is caught up in our current culture to know that despite their suffering, despite their busyness, despite their anxiety, through God, all things are still possible. I mean, we all know how a firm foundation in faith allows us to overcome all obstacles. And we want others to discover the transforming power of God in their lives too. So the conclusion that council reached is that our changing culture means Southminster has to learn to do church in a new way that meets the needs of people today. So last fall, they commissioned the formation of a visioning team to develop a strategic plan for doing church in a new way. The visioning team actually met for the first time here a little over 10 days ago. And if I could, I'd like to invite the visioning team to stand up for a second, those of you that are here, so people can see who you are. Most of them are here. There's a few who aren't. And we'll talk more about the visioning team in the annual meeting. But it's a good team. It's a team that I think represents our congregation well. And it's a team that is very excited about the work that they're going to do. And they're going to spend the next 8 months or so developing a strategic plan to present to our council in August. And as I said, this is a good team. I think we're very blessed to have these people on this visioning team. They're committed to moving forward in faith. And they're excited about the future and the new thing that God is doing here at Southminster. Now I grant you, a new way of being a church can be scary. There's no doubt about that. We can choose to be faithless, or we can choose to be faithful. We can keep relying on our backup plans, like the rich young ruler, or we can trust God to provide by letting go of those backup plans and moving forward in faith. You know, over the last year, I've seen our church embrace faithfulness, even in times of deep grief. And I can tell you that I'm excited for the new thing that God is doing here as we step together in faith into the future. Behold, God is doing a new thing. Would you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we thank you for this church, for this community. We thank you for its faithfulness. We thank you for how your light is shining on this church. And we thank you for the new thing you are doing here. God, as we prepare to step into the future, whatever that future looks like, we pray that we can do so with faith, We pray that we can do so with the conviction that you are doing a new thing and with the assurance that it will be a good thing. And most of all, that you will take care of us through it all. God, we pray and ask that even if we struggle with the notion that for you all things are possible, we pray that we can embrace that with faith. God, we thank you, and we offer this prayer to you in your name. Amen.